It's all right to praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. Glory to God. Come on, let's give him some praise up in here. Come on, put your hands together. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Bless his holy name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for lifting. Thank you for lifting my head. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, beloved, but I've been down. Down so that I didn't think I was going to get up. But I can't say but hallelujah to the Lamb. Nobody but God. Somebody shout, but God, but God, but God, but God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Amen. We thank God for our praise team this morning, lifting us, amen, to worship the Lord in song. We're grateful because our God has been good to us, and we can't help but to say thank you, Jesus. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. Amen. Let's pray together, and we'll jump right into our morning text. Amen. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you, O God, again for this, another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. In particular, O God, we thank you because we know that this is a day that we have not seen before, nor shall we ever see again. And we're grateful that even when we were down, you lifted our head. Now, God, it's preaching time. And in particular, oh God, we pray that again, you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, touch these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And oh God, we pray that you would speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor which is already yours. Thank you for this music department. Thank you for the opportunity to worship. Now speak, Lord, so that we might know how to be good soldiers of the cross. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. And together, every child of God shouted amen. Amen, 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 and praise God. Amen. Listen, I'm trying to do something a little different here with my iPad, and so you all pray with me. At this point, it don't seem like it want to cooperate, but praise be to God, we're here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 37, and we're going to read in our hearing verse 25. Psalms 37, 37th number of Psalms, and we'll read a very familiar passage of Scripture in our hearing today, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Somebody shout amen. It is Psalms 37, verse 25, and it reads as follows. I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I just want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit, the testimony of an OG. The testimony of an OG. The testimony of an OG. My brothers and sisters, the truth of the matter is this song contrasts the destiny of the wicked with the future of the righteous. The wicked, though he prosper today, the Bible declares that he will be cut off in the day of the Lord. The righteous will inherit the earth and will be vindicated by the Lord. In this psalm, David also not only looks at the destiny of the wicked as opposed to the righteous, he looks at, if you would, the conduct of the wicked with the righteousness, with the righteous. The wicked oppress the poor, the wicked, borrow and do not repay, the wicked plot against the just. On the other hand, the text suggests that the righteous show mercy and gives. His mouth speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice. The message of this psalm literally is this: to wait patiently in faith on the Lord simply because the Lord is faithful. The truth of the matter is, listen to the Psalms, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4 and 5, delight thyself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also on him and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7, I love that, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. And then in verse 39 through 40, he says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. He goes on to say, the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. This psalm, beloved, speaks of trusting in God and waiting patiently in the Lord because our God is a faithful God. And again, beloved, the truth of the matter is, I like that because whether we believe it or not, our God is faithful. Somebody ought to shout amen. He is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. But the most striking of these verses of this text literally is the verse that we just read before us. It says, David says, I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. I like that, beloved. I like that because it is a familiar passage that we get even out of the book of Hebrews where the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's like unto that God will be with us. This is, beloved, the testimony of David, who has gotten older, and beloved, who better to share with those who are to come than those who have already been. David is sharing with the young, and the difference between the testimony of an old man, hear me, beloved, and probably an old man and a young man is the difference between knowledge and assumption. It is the difference between fact and or the difference between the word of a veteran who carries the scars, the sword cuts, the bullet wounds of many battlefields, and the word of a ruddy-faced youth who has yet to win his shoulder straps. This is the testimony of an OG. And if you fit anywhere in the category of OG, I'm talking to you. Help me hear somebody. We know an OG symbolizes that we are an old gangster. That's what the terminology comes from. We call folk an OG on the basketball court or an OG playing a game or anything. When we see him on the sideline, we say, what's up, OG? Because we know that that person, because of the gray in their face and their demeanor, that they have been places and done things. And this here, beloved, is David testifying that I've been somewhere and done some things. Now, beloved, an OG, hear me, is good news because it is one who is sage, the wise one who shares his knowledge with the youngster. Help me hear somebody. An OG, an old gangster, has learned a few things and he needs to pass those things on to the next generation. Can I just say here real quick, beloved, this is where we are as a church. We have OGs that need to share with the young G's. I wish somebody would help me. We have individuals who have been on the scene for a long time and now it is time to pass that knowledge on to the next generation. And so David says, I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never, absolutely, unequivocally, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The truth of the matter is, when you look at the text, David talks in terms of the past. Everybody shout, past. Come on, help me with this. Say, past. He talks in terms of the past. He says, I've been young. It has been said that one of the problems of getting old is that we forget what it was like being young. Am I right about it? Any OG in the house ought to remember what it was like being young. We seem to be so carefree. We didn't have a worry in the world, didn't have any bills and any responsibilities to meet. Come on, somebody help me. We were young. Nobody was counting on us. Nobody was depending on us. Nobody wanted our money simply because we didn't have any. I know I'm right about it. The truth of the matter is, beloved, the question is, what characterize youth? And in other words, what distinguish youth from old age? First, I want to suggest that it is a lack of maturity. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about something bad. It's just that a young person hasn't fully developed yet. That when we're young, we were still had a whole lot more growing to do. We had to develop physically, if you would. When you're young, you're still learning, your body still growing and developing and settling into your natural weight and your natural height. That's physically, but also it was an emotional maturity. The truth is, as a young person, our emotions, if we're honest enough, we're all over the place. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, we had not yet learned how to control our emotions. And if we were honest, we would testify that we remember from going from happy to sad. Anybody got teenage in their house right now, from mad to glad in a matter of seconds? I got a teenager in the house. I wish somebody would help me. The truth is, sometimes we didn't even know what we were feeling if we were honest enough, because we hadn't developed emotionally and physically, but also we hadn't developed completely mentally. Our minds were still being developed. We were learning new things every day. And the truth of the matter is, we thought we knew it all back in the day. It reminds me of this deacon who was outside the church preparing for Wednesday Bible study, midweek service, and a little boy who had just moved into the community was riding his bike in the church parking lot. The deacon decided to invite the five-year-old boy to church, and the deacon said, young man, do you live close by? And the young man said, yeah, I live in a house right there, pointing to his new house. And the deacon asked, do you go to church anywhere? He said, no, I don't go to church anywhere. My family doesn't go to church anywhere. And so the deacon said, well, would you like to come to Sunday school this Sunday? And the little boy looked at him and said, well, what do they teach at Sunday school? And he said, they teach Bible stories and tell you about Jesus. And the little boy required, do they teach any math in this Sunday school? Because if they do, I'm not coming, because I already know enough math. Hear me, beloved. You all remember when we were young, we thought we knew it all. Come on, somebody help me. We didn't want nobody telling us nothing. Didn't want anybody giving us any instructions, because we thought we knew it all. Y'all remember when you were younger? We thought we knew enough, and we thought we had it going on. We thought we knew it all. And come to find out, if we're honest enough, that we didn't know as much as we thought we did. I wish somebody would say amen. I like the way Sigmund Freud put it when he said, if youth knew and if age could. In other words, if we knew what we know now, if we knew then what we know now, we would have been dangerous back then. Come on, somebody help me. If in our youth, if we know what we know right now, help me here, somebody. We would have been messed up and tore up from the floor up trying to get, I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, what characterizes youth is a lack of maturity, but also it's a lot of energy. Listen, we had get up and go when we were younger. We had vim, vigor, and vitality. Remember when we used to be able to stay up all night? Come on, somebody. We could party and dance the night away. They used to turn the lights out on us, because when the party was over, somebody can testify, we wasn't ready to go. Come on, somebody help me. Then we would go to what was called back then the after party. So help me here, somebody. And then the truth of the matter is, back in the day, we could jump higher and run faster and move quicker when we were young. And that's why David says, I've been young. When, listen, beloved, the truth is, if we're honest, God was faithful to us even in our impulsive youth. When we smoked that blunt, come on, somebody help me. For the first time, I hit the pipe, I drunk our first drink. Come on, somebody help me. When we snuck in the refrigerator to get some of mama and daddy's wine cooler. I wish somebody would help me here. The truth of the matter is, beloved, it took us down some roads we wish we hadn't gone, but God didn't let it completely destroy us. When we were running after the wrong man, a wrong woman, we may have lost our mind for a minute. It was what we call temporary insanity. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, beloved, but praise be to God, he didn't allow that insanity to become permanent. Am I right about it? When we got into that fight for no reason to prove how tough we were, God didn't allow somebody to take us out the places we went where we could have been killed because we were young and foolish and didn't see the dangers that lurked around the corner, up the block, down the street, in the cut. I wish somebody would help me, but God still had his hands on us. We hung out with people, some of whom meant us no good, but our friends, they were our friends at the time because we had a little something. But because we was young, we didn't realize that as long as you got a little something, you're going to have friends. But as soon as you don't have anything, your friends will leave you and like rats jumping off a sinking ship. That they will be what is called, come on somebody, fair weather friends. When the weather is fair, when it's sunny outside and it's smooth outside, they there. But when it gets cloudy, some of y'all know, some of your friends will turn their back on you. But because, listen, we were left friendless at time, we found that there was a God who was a friend to the friendless and a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. Somebody can shout, God was right there. Am I right about it? We serve a faithful God. This psalmist talks in terms of the past, but he also talks in terms of the present. He says, I was young, but now, he says, I'm old. Whether we want to admit it or not, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, we are all getting older. It is a reality that some people try to escape or run away from. That's why sometimes you see old men trying to act young. Come on, somebody help me. And old women trying to look and act like, and old women looking and acting like young women. Come on, somebody help me. They old, but they try to dress young. They try to talk young. They try to behave like they still young and still got it going on. There's nothing wrong with wanting to keep alive the precious memories of our younger days when we had plenty of spunk. But sooner or later, Father Time will catch up to all of us, and we'll have to sing like the old song said, the old gray mare ain't what she used to be. I wish somebody would help me. It tickles me to observe people who refuse to accept old age. We can refuse it if all we want to, but it's obvious from the lines on our face and the furrows in our forehead that our player and playette days are over. Come on, somebody help me. But you can't tell them that they ain't in the game no longer, because they still trying to convince the younger generation that they still got it going on. Can I just suggest to you, beloved, my brothers and sisters, it's physically impossible to escape the reality of old age. Listen, old age is a natural progression of life. If you keep on living, you're gonna get older. I don't care how many vitamins we take. I don't care how well we watch our diet or how much we exercise. We can't stop from getting old. Father Time will catch all of us. If you don't mind, help me real quick. Just hunt somebody and say, I know that's right. Yeah, just look them in the eye and say, yeah, you look good right now, but sooner or later, you're gonna get a little older. Amen, somebody. I don't care how much Grecian formula you use just for men you put in your hair. I don't care, we're getting older. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, there was what was called the fountain of youth. Let me just suggest to you that was the legendary spring that restored the youth of anyone who drinks from its waters. Tales of such fountain have been recounted across the world for thousands of years. And just let me say this right up front. There is no fountain of youth. Listen, beloved, all of us will go there. It is impossible physically. Listen. It's also impossible mentally. Hear me. It doesn't matter how much we exercise our mind or how many natural herbs we take or swallow or how many books we read on memory retention. Sooner or later, our thought process is going to deteriorate and you won't be able to remember people's names or places you've been or even what you went into the other room for. I wish somebody would help me. Why? Because old age brings about a change mentally. We used to stay up all night. Now we got to take a nap after lunch. Help me hear somebody. We used to be able to run like a deer, but now we move like a snail. We used to be able to eat anything our little hearts desire without the fear of indigestion. But now when we eat, we got to sit up a while and let it digest before, come on, somebody help me, before we can move. I wish somebody would help me here. The truth of the matter is, we used to never have to take medicine. Now somebody can shout, we got to take a pill for everything. And I mean everything. Come on, somebody help me. I look in the mirror today and see that my hair is turning white. My eyesight has gotten dim. My steps have drawn short. Why? Because Kenny Ray is getting older. And listen, beloved, don't look at me funny. You getting older too. I don't care how young you are right now. You getting older as well. And listen, let me speak to the OGs in the house for a moment. Listen, we got to stop acting like we ain't never made any mistakes. I wish somebody would help me. We got to be truthful and honest and transparent and let this generation know, tell them the truth about life. We got to tell them that life really is tough and hard and tricky and challenging, and sometimes real mistakes are made. Listen here, somebody. The truth is, we need to show them that failure is not final, that even though there is a mess up, one can get up and keep climbing up. We need to remind them that we serve a God of another chance. I didn't say a second chance, I said another chance. And this older generation need to let folk know that we are the recipients of another chance, a chance after that, and a chance after that. Listen, we need to be honest with them and transparent. And then let them know that we didn't just get here overnight. There's some stuff that happened to us along the way, but it was nobody but God that brought us through. We messed up and made mistakes and had mishaps, but God saw us through. Are you listening to me? We got to learn how to tell the truth and not play as if we don't have anything wrong or sweep stuff under the rug. I like the way Evie Hill tells a story of him testifying about sharing with a wayward young girl. And he told the young girl that she should listen to her mother. And this little girl replied, "My mama can't tell me nothing. She got dirt on her skirt." And so Evie Hill said, "Well, that's exactly what she can tell you. She can tell you how not to get dirt on your skirt." I wish somebody would help me. We got to be honest. We got to let them know, beloved, because here it is. We got to stop sweeping this stuff under the rug as if we've never messed up. We did. We just didn't get caught. And if we did get caught, God worked it out, and he worked it out for our good. Are you listening to me? Yeah, I said it. I'll say it again. We messed up, but God worked it out for our good. And listen, come here, young G. Listen, don't be so hard-headed. Listen, that you are unteachable and you won't listen to anybody. Watch Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20. It says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days." Hear what James said in chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "We must be quick to hear." In other words, as Pastor William says, we gotta listen. Hear me, beloved. Hear me, young G. There are individuals that will give wise counsel. And don't discount what you hear so quickly without listening. Can I say that again? Don't discount the counsel of the wise so quickly without listening. We quiet in here today. Listen, the story is told of Franklin Roosevelt, who had endured long receiving lines at the White House. He complained that no one really paid attention to what was said. So one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line to shake his hand, he leaned in and whispered, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guest response was with phrases like this: "Marvelous. Keep up the good work. We're proud of you. God bless you, sir." It was not until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador of Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Perplexed, when Roosevelt whispered, "I murdered my grandmother," the ambassador from Bolivia leaned back in and said to him, "I'm sure she had it coming." Listen, beloved, hear me good. This is what I'm saying. We are in the midst of, at St. Paul, and even in the midst of other churches, of a multi-generational church, and we're going to have to learn how to work together to build the kingdom of God. There's value no matter how young you are, and there's value no matter how old you are. Here is the testimony of an OG who says, "I've been young and now I'm old," and he's suggesting that there's value on each side. Our goal is not to discount one over the other, but to learn from each other, build with each other, and grow together. Our young people have a knowledge base that we didn't have when we were growing up. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, this modern technology information, listen, is right at their fingertip. They have a heart and a passion for justice and truth and inclusiveness. And we got to learn, beloved, that we have to include them in what we do. But listen, they can be impatient and they can be disrespectful at times. They say stuff that would have gotten us knocked out back in the day. I wish somebody would help me. They will jump ship in a minute, but if you are paying attention to them, if you are hearing them, listen, they are with you. They will be your ride or die. Listen, they will be your ace boon coon if they know you are listening. And listen, this past generation, young G, you need to realize that generation was a faithful generation. That generation was a committed generation. And that generation, they would stick with you and stay even if everything wasn't right. But listen, they say the challenge with them is this, that they say what they want to say and use don't say it the right way. I wish somebody would help me. They haven't looked, took the time to learn this new technology. And if they have, they're usually messing it up. Come on, somebody help me. And believing everything they read on the internet, and they got to call their young G, their young son, I wish somebody would help me to work things out. Can I just say this real quick? We must come together to work together. Listen, there are differences, but those differences ought not separate us. They ought to bring us closer together. Listen, you ought to look at somebody right now and say, I love you no matter what. Look them in the eye and say, I don't care how old you are or how young you are. We're going to get this thing together and we're going to work it out to build the kingdom of God. Listen to what the psalmist says, "I've been young and now I'm old." But listen, he talks in terms of past. He talks in terms, listen, of the present, but he also talks in terms of perspective. Watch what he says. In other words, David says, I've been young and now I'm old, and I'm going to tell you what I see and how I see it, and what can be the potential outcome of life's journey. From his perspective, he first mentions the presence of God. He says, from his perspective, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken." In other words, God will always be on your side. Shaddai, God will never leave you nor forsake the righteous. These are not words of a novice. David is no neophyte. He is an experienced man. And Proverbs 20 and 29 says, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair. David had seen the fullness of life. He had tasted the bitter and the sweet. He had experienced both pleasure and pain. And now he provides expert testimony concerning the faithfulness of God. That really is all that this verse is designed to do, is to teach us and to remind us just how faithful God is. I hope you got that this morning, because through everything David had faced, whether good or bad, whether it was Goliath, whether it was running from Saul or Absalom, listen, everything that David had gone through, good or bad, he recognized that his God never forsook him. Are you listening to me? In the Hebrew, the word forsake is the word abandon, to leave in a lurch, to leave someone who is depending on you, or to leave someone alone with a problem. And listen, we ought to understand, and this ought to encourage us and comfort us, no matter where we are in our stage of life, whether we are young or whether we are old, listen, through every trial, through every struggle, through every battle, through every difficulty, through every problem, through every challenge that we have to face on this side, even though we're in a pandemic, even though we're dealing with social injustice, even though we have to keep on fighting when the world is fighting against us, we need to recognize the righteous have the promise of God being with us. I wish I had 5 minutes to let you shout it out, to let you get your shout on, because you can testify that no matter what you've gone through in life, and no matter how challenging it has been, God has been right there. I dare you to wave your hand in the air. I dare you to praise him like you just don't care. I dare you to tell God, thank you for being right there. Thank you for never leaving me. Thank you for walking by me and being on my side. Are you listening to me? That ought to encourage us that God never forsakes his people. He never leaves us to fight alone. He never abandons us or leaves us in a lurch. And whatever we are dealing with, no matter how harsh, no matter the adversity, we ought to remember God is with us. And if God is with us, listen, beloved, we can make it. If you don't mind, just encourage somebody and say, don't matter what you're going through, you can make it. Listen, just look at somebody, point that sanctified finger in their face and tell them you can make it. You can make it with God on your side. I don't care how hard it is. There's nothing too hard for God. I don't care if it's a financial problem. God can get money from a fish's mouth. I don't care if it's a family problem. God knows how to make a crooked stick straight. God can work it out. Am I right about it? Listen, beloved, God never forsakes the righteous. It's all in the history of Israel. Listen, God never left them. God was with Abraham as a pilgrim, as a stranger. God was with Jacob in the house of Laban. God was with Joseph in slavery and in prison. And when he was running from that hussy Potiphar's wife, come on, somebody help me. God was with Moses as he stood before Pharaoh saying, let my people go. God was with Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness. God was with Joshua as the wall came tumbling down and as he conquered the promised land. Listen, we can count on a faithful God simply because he has been faithful in the past and he's going to be faithful in the future. Am I right about that? That's what the older generation ought to recognize, that the same God that brought y'all through is going to be the same
same God that brought us through, the same God that took us through the Jim Crow, I wish somebody would help me, and the segregated South, is the same God that's going to be with us, the same God that was with us during the Middle Passage as we crossed over from Africa to the New World. I wish somebody would help me. And 400 years of cattle slavery, listen, beloved, it's the same God, same God. I wish somebody would help me, that helped us to find a job and find a house and find our wives. I wish somebody, is the same God that's going to be with us. And so we ought to encourage one another, because we serve the same faithful God. He will never let his people down. He will never forsake his people. We can count on a faithful God. Can I suggest to you that he is faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him? Look at somebody and say, I know that's right. Woo, help me hear somebody. He talks in terms of perspective. He talks in terms of past. He talks in terms of present. He talks in terms of perspective. And he says, and when he uses that, he talks a term and mentions the presence of God. I have never seen the righteous forsaken. God will be faithful. But also when it comes for perspective, he talks in terms of provision. Help me hear somebody. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his children begging for bread. Whoo, help me hear somebody. In other words, beloved, God will always supply our need. Whoo. If it's a need, God will supply the need. And if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Are you listening to me? Let me just give you this and I'll let you go. Years ago, a family went to Disneyland during the Christmas holidays, and it has been said that God takes care of old folks, babies, and fools. Well, we didn't have any old folk with us, listen, and we didn't have no babies with us, but the truth of the matter is we went to Disneyland during Christmas, and everybody know during the Christmas holidays is one of the busiest times of the year. You see, early in the year, we had bought tickets that gave us a 3-day entrance into the park, listen, and we had a year to use them up, and the year was just about up, so we decided to get all the kids together and run down to Disneyland. My brother from San Diego came up, and he brought his kids. It was 10 of us. We got to the checkout, and the lady looked at the tickets, and she said, these tickets are no good. They're no good because although you have free entrance for 3 days into the park, they're no good because they got blackout days. And guess what? One of the blackout days, hear me, beloved, was Christmas season. So there we were in line. I begged the lady. I said, is there anything you could do? Is there any way you could make amends? And she said, well, I tell you what, go stand in the ticket line and ask the lady behind the counter. We stood in the line for 40 minutes, got up to the front of the line, and the lady simply said, there's nothing that we can do. I'm sorry. The only thing we can do, listen, is that each family would have to pay $400 extra on this day to get brand new tickets and use the other tickets some other time. Listen, hear me, beloved. So we walked away. We took our kids and we were about to walk out until I noticed that there was a lady out there by the name of Jenna. She was helping everybody out there looking at their tickets and seeing where they needed to go. And so I walked up to her and I said, Jenna, listen, I see you helping people. Can you possibly help us? We done went to the ticket line. We done stood in line for all of this stuff, and listen, they're telling us there's nothing that we can do. We came all the way from San Francisco and all the way from San Diego. It's 10 of us. You see these kids? You see how sad they look? I told Kennedy, I said, make a sad face, and she was looking sad. I asked Jenna, I said, Jenna, can you go in the back somewhere and talk to Walt Disney, because I know you know him personally, and will you just let him know we out here and we've come from a long way? She said, well, I tell you what, just stay right here. And I just need one of y'all. I need one of y'all's ID. She came back. When she came back, she took my ID. And she came back about 10 minutes later. When she came back, she had free one-day passes to the park. I wish somebody would help me. And I said, well, do you want these three-day passes? She said, no, these are free tickets that you can go on the park all day, and you just keep those tickets and use them at another time. I wish somebody would help me. And so we began to shout. And then on our way to the ticket to get into the park, there was a man named Jose. And Jose said, listen, I've got free passes that'll get you to the front of the line if you just want them to all of the bad roller coasters. And we're done for the day, and you can have our free passes. Listen, beloved, you might say that's Jenna and Jose, but I say it wasn't Jenna, but it was Jesus. You might say it was Jose, but I'll say it was Jose Cristo. I wish somebody would help me. It was Jesus Christ, because God makes a way for his people. I like that, beloved. Won't he make a way? Won't he make a way? He'll make a way out of no way. And truth is, beloved, we got to understand that God never forsakes his people. And the only time that we know in Scripture that God forsook anyone that was his own, we know that Jesus, when he was on the cross, cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus made this statement because for the first time in eternity, he felt, listen, separated from his Father. And the nature of the penalty that Jesus suffered demanded that his Father literally leave him for that time. Listen, because on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. That's why I like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. At the cross, listen, beloved, Christ became the worst liar. He became the worst embezzler. He became the worst thief. He became the worst murderer that had ever lived. In Christ, the sinless became sinful in order that we might become righteousness before God. Apart from him, somebody ought to know we have no righteousness. That's why Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, I wish somebody would help me, we are healed. Am I right about it? Because of his stripes, because of what he took for us on the cross, we now got a right relationship with God because of the work that Jesus did. Listen, beloved, because he was forsaken, felt forsaken on the cross, the righteous don't ever have to be forsaken. We may be beaten and oppressed, but we're not forsaken. We may be in prison and despised and destitute, but we're never forsaken. We may be hungry and poor, single or sick, but we are never forsaken. We may be hated or imperfect, turned down for a promotion, but never forsaken. We may have a hard time with our kids, having difficulty in our marriages, and even fighting temptation, but we are absolutely, unequivocally, we are never, absolutely never forsaken. And our testimony ought to be, I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I do not care. I know he cares.
cares for me on mountain bleaks or on stormy seas. Though billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of his care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air. And surely he will remember me. My heavenly Father watches over me. Is that anybody's testimony today? Can you testify that God has watched over you in your life? Can you testify that had it not been for the Lord on your side, you would have lost it long time ago? God keeps on watching over us, and he keeps on making a way for us. And if we're young, or even if we're old, am I right about it? God will be right there, and he will provide. Am I right about it? I like the songwriter when he wrote, "Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadow come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion and constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Am I right about it? I like the way the songwriter says, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." You ought to give him praise up in here. You ought to tell him thank you up in here. You ought to say glory, because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Won't he make a way? Won't he pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he place your feet on solid ground? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yes. Ain't he all right? Won't he make a way? Won't he turn you around? You ought to give him praise up in here. Yes. 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 You ought to lift your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care. You ought to give him praise up in here.
I've been young. Now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging bread. Same God that brought the past generation through is going to be the same God that's going to bring us through. And until the Lord comes back, ooh, help me hear somebody. We're going to trust in a faithful God. And so I can say, listen, to the young, don't get discouraged. God is working it out. And to the old, hang on in there. We're going to work together, and we ain't going to lose the legacy that you've left us. Help me hear somebody. But you got to recognize that we got to all work together, because I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. His presence and his provision will still be with us. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, thank you for the opportunity to help us to remember where and when and what and how. Help us to reminisce on days of old so that we can be an encouragement to this generation coming on. And then, Lord, we pray that even in our older age, help us to choose our words carefully. Help us to speak the truth in love. And we pray, God, you give us all listening ears for what thus saith the Lord. And when it's all said and done, Lord, we'll back up for a moment to make sure that all praise, all glory, all honor goes to you, because we realize even right now that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but you're still working on us, and you're still helping us and guiding us.
Thank you for being the same God that has been with us all of these years. And we know that until you come back, you're going to guide us into the future. Thank you, Lord. We love you and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.